أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been reviewing chapter number 53, Surah An-Najm, the chapter of the star. And we're basing this series on the commentary authored by Sheikh Mohsen Qiraati in his Tafsir An-Nur. Today, in part number 13, we want to look at the theme of what you deserve, and we will be journeying through verses number 38 up until verse number 41. So in these four verses, we want to try and answer the question of what you deserve. And we'll see as we go through the verses and the commentary that we only get what we deserve from God. He would never be so unjust as to deprive us of what we have earned in this world. Nor would he ever be so unfair to the good people that he would allow those who were sinful to also get away with whatever they had done, that they will also get what they deserve. Before we go into the commentary, let us review the Arabic. Let us have a listen to the Arabic of these four verses, followed by the English translation, and then we'll come back with an analysis and a better understanding of this theme. Allah says the following in Surah An-Najm.
أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى.
That no soul bears the burden of another soul, and that the human being attains only what he strives for, and that his efforts will be witnessed. Then he will be rewarded for it the fullest reward. Verses 38 to 54 of this chapter of Surah An-Najm and the teachings which present the teachings which are found in the books of Prophets Ibrahim and Prophet Musa, peace be upon them both, Prophets Abraham and Moses, and which are accepted in the religion of Islam, meaning that these were teachings given to these two previous prophets, which God has then repeated within the Quran and which are found in the faith of Islam. Now, the word wizr, which is used in this passage, it refers to a heavy load, and it is also used for sins, which in reality, as we know, are a heavy burden which a person carries on their shoulders. The word wazir, this refers to a person who has taken on the weighty responsibility of the running of the affairs of the country. Through one's good actions, God has promised to erase the bad deeds which a person performs, or through a person's turning back to God, the act of tawbah, and seeking forgiveness from God, the act of istighfar, he, meaning God, forgives them, or he will transform the bad deeds into good deeds. However, God would never unfairly place the burden of sins of one person onto the shoulders of another person. When the second caliph, Umar ibn al-Khattab, gave the order that a pregnant woman who had committed adultery, who had engaged in the act of zina, should be stoned to death, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, stood up and said, "What sin has her unborn fetus committed?" And by relying upon the verse which reads, "Wala taziru waziratan wizra ukhra," and that no soul bears the burden of another soul, the Imam Ali, peace be upon him, went on to say, "Be patient, O Umar, until she delivers, and then carry out your penalty on her." The noble Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, has been quoted as saying, "The sin of the couple who have committed adultery, zina, does not fall on the shoulders of the child born out of wedlock." And then the Prophet recited this verse of the Quran which reads, "Wala taziru waziratan wizra ukhra," and that no soul bears the burden of another soul. Now at this point, a question may come into the minds that the verse reads, "Wan laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a," and that the human being attains only what he strives for. However, in other verses of the Quran and in the Ahadith, we read that sometimes a person may enter paradise through the act of intercession of others, the act known as shafa'at. Now, the response to this question is multifaceted. Let us go over some of the responses. Number one, and first off, is that this verse sought to remove the ignorant concept, this concept of the Jahli Arabs, in that people used to have, in which they would say to one another, that if you give me a certain amount of money, I will take the responsibility of your sins on my shoulders. The noble Quran came to quash such a belief and to tell the people that no one can take the burden of sins of another person, and everyone will get exactly what they strive for. The second point is that this verse gives us a glimpse into the justice, the adl of God, and not the grace, not the fadl of God. Meaning that according to His justice, the justice of Allah, the punishments and rewards of each person are based on the amount of their efforts. However, God can, through His grace, bestow His benevolence and give a greater reward to an individual or reduce that person's retribution, as He says in the Quran, وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and He gives them more out of His grace. Thirdly, if we see that it has been mentioned in the traditions that if an individual establishes either a praiseworthy or an immoral tradition, a sunnah in a community, they will share in the rewards or the retributions of everyone who follow the particular action they established, then definitely this does not go against the verse which reads, وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, and that the human being attains only what he strives for. As the one who had established the path of truth or falsehood is also, by means of acting as an intermediary, that person is a proof and a guide to that action. Or we can say that they can be considered as one who had initiated the prerequisites and laid down that which was required for that action to perpetuate in the society. Or they were the one who was able to propagate and encourage or contribute in other ways, either materially or psychologically, and was able to indirectly exert some level of effort on the society or the people around them. And thus, for such a person to receive some of the reward or the punishment for their actions is not something baseless. And this is just as if a person did not walk the correct path of life. There is no way that such a person would be worthy of having intercession, shafa, to assist them. Now let us take a brief pause here, and we will come back in our next discussion to continue on the commentary and the understanding of this portion of Surah An-Najm, where we have been looking, at least in this area, on the topic of shafa'a, of intercession. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.